Wisdom is not only throughout the book of Proverbs, but it is scattered throughout the Bible. In fact, the Bible is wisdom, is God's words. If you look at the what we call the wisdom books, you know, typically, you know, when we talk about Job, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, there's over 100 uses of the word of the words for wise or wisdom. Proverbs has about half of those in it. If you look at the New Testament, and you look at Sophia, it's about 50 times that it's used in the New Testament. Anybody want to tell me which book has the most uses of Sophos, Sophia? Anybody want to guess? New Testament. No, not James. Anybody's guessing there? Come on, Don, just guess. No. No. First Corinthians has about a third of the references to wisdom wise, and a lot of it's in sarcastic terms, as Paul uses them there. Wise in the way in the world. I want to start off just by reading Proverbs 1:1-7. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're actually going to look at three primary passages during the course of the morning. This passage, then we're going to look at Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 8. You know, typically in the past, I have looked at verses that use the terms or apply to. Again, there's a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about wisdom. It's so overwhelming that I decided not even to begin with that. And that's the reason I'm going to take just several passages, and we'll look at those in a bit of detail this morning. And hopefully on your own, you can take a look at the rest of what Proverbs talks about, because it is indeed, it's all throughout, it is the book of wisdom. So beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So a basic preface to the whole book itself, dealing with what is Solomon trying to say here? What is he giving us when we talk about his wisdom and instruction? This is the same book that I used last year to get some ideas. It's called Proverbs by Derek Kidner. And I want to start out reading a passage from his in the intro to Proverbs. I don't think I've read it to you already. If I have, I apologize. He says, he starts out with a quote, "Make the bad people good and the good people nice." It's supposed to have been a child's prayer. It makes the point with proverbic brevity that there are details of character small enough to escape the mesh of the law and the broadsides of the prophets, and yet decisive in personal dealings. Proverbs moves in this realm, asking what a person is like to live with or to employ, but how he manages his affairs, his time, himself. This good lady, for instance, does she talk too much? That cheerful soul, is he bearable in the early morning? And this friend who is always dropping in, here is some advice for him and for that rather aimless lad. But it is not a portrait album or a book of manners. It offers a key to life. The samples of behavior which it holds up to view are all assessed by one criterion, which could be summed up in the question, is this wisdom or folly? This is a unifying approach to life because it suits the most commonplace realms as fully as the most exalted. Wisdom leaves its signature on anything well-made or well-judged, from an apt remark to the universe itself, from a shrewd policy to a noble action. In other words, it is equally at home in the realms of nature and art, of ethics and politics, to mention no others, and forms a single basis of judgment for them all. Such an approach could have the effect of lowering everything to a common level if wisdom were equated with selfish calculation. There is calculation in Proverbs, for there is every encouragement to count the cost or reward of one's actions, and to study the ways of getting things done. But wisdom as taught here is God-centered, and even when it is most down-to-earth, it consists in the shrewd and sound handlings of one's affairs in God's world, in submission to His will. Let me read that part one more time. But wisdom as taught here is God-centered, and even when it is most down-to-earth, it consists in the shrewd and sound handlings of one's affairs in God's world in submission to His will. Wisdom is not something that's confined to Christianity or to the Bible as far as the way that we use the word wisdom. But obviously there's quite the difference in what the world means by wisdom and what the Bible talks about as wisdom. What does the world say wisdom is? Being smart? What else? Knowledge? Making your shareholders happy. We know that one well. Well, this is how Webster defines wisdom. Knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life, or the natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot usually understand, or knowledge of what is proper or reasonable, good sense or just judgment. Good sense or judgment. I hope by the end of the day you'll see that there's quite a difference between God's wisdom and what man's wisdom is, even according to Webster, who I have a lot of respect for. I was thinking today, too, that, you know, another, if you look to our culture to tell us what is wisdom, it might, just based on what we spend a lot of time doing in this culture, it seems, is it could be knowledge that is gained from watching a lot of reality TV. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, you always, whatever people spend the most time in is a lot of times what they value the highest. And just for curiosity, I actually plugged in wisdom.com to see what I would get. That was quite interesting. A fun new way of discovering the most popular bars, nightclubs, restaurants, and cafes and finding out who goes there. Use wisdom.com on your iPhone to go to the most popular places with the right crowd. Anyway, if you need that, wisdom.com. So let me ask another question as we talk about wisdom. You know, as we go through the Proverbs, are there value in the Proverbs to, let's say, to wicked men? If wicked men were to take, go through here and pull out a number of these, is there value there? If they outside of the uses that God meant them for? Yeah, I mean, anybody have a thought on that? What's an example of what? And you can learn not to grab a dog by the ears. I mean, that's pretty helpful. There's a lot of evil men who have actually taken the proverb to heart. Go to the ant, O sluggard. You know, there's a lot of men out there who work very, very hard for themselves. You can get the idea as we go through and look at Proverbs, if you're looking at it from just a worldly view, that the whole book is basically aimed at, this is how I get success, this is how I acquire prosperity. And I want to read something very quickly, again from Kidner, talking about this very topic. He says, when we open the book of Proverbs at random and take samples of its wisdom, we may gain the impression that its religious content is thin and indefinite. Many of its maxims and theological assertions would transplant into non-Israelite, non-biblical soil, and we are tempted to ask whether anything as specific as a covenant relationship with God is presupposed here. A hostile reader might go even further and ask whether the real God and master in this book is not man himself, and the real goal, prosperity. Although this last question can be answered quickly, it is not enough to point to the recurrent motto, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For this could itself be mere counsel of prudence, a crowning example of the policy of cultivating the powers that be. The answer is seen rather in the revelation of prudential considerations to moral throughout the book, and it is the clear answer. The moral factors always take precedence. To be sure, Proverbs is concerned to point out that what is right and what pays may travel long distances together. But it leaves us in no doubt which we are to follow when their paths diverge. For example, on the question of gifts and bribes, it will go as far as to say, a man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him before great men, Proverbs 18:16. But it will also go a step further. A wicked man says in 17:23, take a bribe out of the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. And it is once clear that justice and not success is our proper concern, and that the unscrupulous will get no praise for their fancied wisdom. You have to be good to be wise, and though Proverbs is particularly concerned to point out the converse, that you have to be wise to be really good. For goodness and wisdom are not two separable qualities, but two aspects of a single whole. To take it back further back, you have to be godly to be wise. And this is not because godliness pays, but because the only wisdom by which you can handle everyday things is conformity with their nature, is the wisdom by which they were divinely made and ordered. So who can have wisdom? If we look at Proverbs, it's very clear. Who can have wisdom? Well, we're told that wisdom is for anyone who wants it. If we look at Proverbs 1:20-23, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. So it's a general calling that wisdom gives. Proverbs 8:17 says, those who seek me diligently will find me. Again, let's turn to chapter 4. Like I said, we're going to look at chapter 4 in some detail this morning. We're going to look at chapter 8. And that'll pretty much wrap us up. I want you to look at the divisions that we have in chapter 4. Basically, 1 through 9 is talking about the idea of this acquisition of wisdom as this precious object. The next set of verses in chapter 10 through 19 is going to talk about the path to true life. And as you go down that last piece there, 20 through the end of the chapter, it talks about, you know, actually living the upright life, actually the way of uprightness. So as I go through here, tell me, I'm going to stop after each of these and be thinking, what is wisdom saying as far as on this first piece, the acquiring of wisdom? Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give instruction to knowing understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. So acquiring of wisdom. What does the proverb say about that? Preeminent in life. What else? Give up everything you have to give it. What else? Okay. Let's act upon it. Okay. Many blessings. You know, as I was looking through this passage, it struck me just how much it is. It's kind of like the conversation that David and I have had before. You know, about how do you know when you found the right girl? You know, and we've talked about the fact that, well, once you really do, are convinced of that, then you go after it with all that you have. You know, you don't, you know, I don't know if you want to spend any time with me, but, you know, you don't talk like that. You know, everything you do is focused on the pursuit of that person. If you're convinced that she's the one that you're to marry, I mean, everything, you know, basically, everything falls down here and this is up here. This is what this passage kind of reminds me of. It's the same as pursuing that perfect, precious gift, is pursuing that perfect person that you've fallen in love with. I mean, this is what wisdom is, the idea of falling in love with that same, I can't live without you mentality, so to speak. You know, the idea that we're going to, you know, just the way wisdom, you know, it says, get wisdom, exclamation point, get understanding, you know. Don't dilly-dally, you know. These are the most important things in the world. Go after them. And then we move over into the next piece. Talk about the path that wisdom provides. It says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. For they do not sleep until they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away, unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So what does it talk about the path to life here? Where do you see that in these verses? Okay, the path of righteousness, the path of the just. Anything else? Path of the wicked goes nowhere. Yeah, actually, it's all through here. You know, the way, right paths, walk, run. Do not walk in the way of evil, as Jeff said. Do not even travel on it. Moving down to verse 20, the way of uprightness. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all the ways your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. So what is the life of uprightness? Okay. What else? No, that was very good. That was very good, Don. I think you summed up a lot of what the idea of being is the focus there. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Do not turn to the left or to the right. As we look at these three passages taken together, there's a thread that runs through each of them. Anybody notice it as we were reading over these? The idea of life itself. Exactly what it is. And as we look at each of these passages, look at verse 4, the very last line. Keep my commands and live. Moving over to verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And then moving down to 20 through 22, says, son, give attention to my words, drops down to keep them, for they are life to those who find them. So what can we say here as we look at God's command, as we look at wisdom's instruction? What are these commands that God has given us? Are they just a means for us, as some would say, to be successful? Are they a good way to treat our parents? Are they something that we just need to share with our kids so that they'll be smarter, make good decisions? Yeah. It's not sardines to munch on while you're treading water. Not sardines to munch on while you're treading water, right? Well, I agree, and I think that's exactly what chapter 4 is talking about when we talk about, you know, when wisdom cries out, it is a matter of life and death. It's not an option. Again, it's not something to help us get through life. It is life.
Cover it.
Well, it's like the when I was little, my dad liked to farm when he, among other things, he did. But he had a mule that he shared with my uncle, and they would use it to plow the gardens. And so my dad would walk, you know, behind the plow, and I'd walk behind my dad, you know, through the tilled earth. But he always, before he, some of you may be familiar with this, and you've seen it before, but he always put on the horse in addition to a bridle, which caused him to go to the left or to the left or to the right, which actually wasn't even necessary because the horse had learned that G meant one way and Ha meant the other way. So G and Ha was a common language, you know, you talk to a mule by. But before he would start, in addition to the bridle, he would put these blinders on the mule, and they were literally just like this, so that nothing could be seen from this side or from this side. Everything was made to focus, as Gilbert just said, is dead ahead. There's nothing important about that mule but that going in that straight row right ahead of him. Everything else is of no value to you at all, mule. And, you know, but that's the same idea as what wisdom is telling us here. Is that, you know, God's telling us, my words are the path of life. Don't stray from them. Don't focus on anything else. Don't get distracted. Because these are the only things that matter. It is what I have to tell you about living the godly life. Yeah, and you've already jumped ahead. But that is very good. But no, I'm glad to see that you see where this is all going. So. Thank you. That's exactly right. Let's turn to chapter 8. I don't have chapter 8 broken down into pieces, but I do want to read it because it's a great chapter that talks about wisdom. And from that, we're just going to kind of wrap up our discussions here, especially since we're about out of time. Does not wisdom cry out and lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. At the entrance of the doors, to you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain in him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and acknowledge and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me rulers reign and rulers decree justice. And by me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way and before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle of the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. So in closing, what are the? I want to talk about two things that Kidner talks about in his book. You know, when he asks the question, "What are the demands of wisdom?" What are the demands of wisdom? You know, if we are truly seeking it, what is required? And he talks of two things. He talks of first of all, conversion, or this turning from evil, as you just pointed to, Kathleen. This turning from evil. Through Proverbs, we've talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does fear look like? What does this fear of the Lord look like? Proverbs 14:2. He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So we kind of see what he's talking about. It's this turning to the light. It's turning away from anything having to do with evil. He gives a list of it all through Proverbs. But it is also a turning to. It's a turning to Christ. It is confessing. Even Proverbs 28, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, they will have mercy. So it is this conversion process that we're talking about. The second piece is, okay, conversion, turning away from evil. But again, you have to have this turning to. You can't turn away from without turning to. And so it's this devotion to God's Word. I mean, because it is God's Word that all truth is found. In Proverbs 8:34, which we just read, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And again, it's that blinders on, forward-looking, always seeking out this the devotion that is the most precious jewel that there is to find, and that is God's Word. So we've gone through all this, and we're out of time. So I'll ask the question. We talked about what man's wisdom is. Let's finalize this. What is God's wisdom? What is wisdom? Christ is wisdom. Okay. What else? What is wisdom? Fear in the Lord. What else? Anything? Okay, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. And that leads us into what, if I were to define it after going through this, kind of breaking down myself personally, what is wisdom? And I think you just kind of nailed it right there. Is wisdom is basically thinking as God thinks. In a sense, and this is a scary thought, but it's quite comforting too, is that it is having the mind of God. You know, it is the idea that you know, we pursue God's words so that just as the disciple follows the master, you know, that disciple becomes like the master. As we follow Christ, the disciple becomes like Christ. You know, the whole idea is we pursue this with this one-mindedness. We don't let distractions on either side of us interfere with understanding. How does God think? And of course, you know, the Bible is what we have is the mind of God. You know, it's great revelation to us. Studying the Word of God, we understand who God is, what He has done, how He thinks about things, what He has put in place, why He does the things He does. And therefore, it gives us wisdom to live wise in this world. Proverbs 3:16 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." And if you look at that word acknowledge, it's the idea of know. "In all your ways know Him." So what, again, going back to the mind of God, what we want to know, what we want to do is grab hold of this knowledge of God. It's an intimate relationship that we as Christians have through Christ with God. Grab hold of it. Learn from Him. Let the things that we think be the things that God would have us think and the way He's designed us to think. Any questions before we close? I think I'm out of time. Okay, well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your words and Proverbs, and Father, we thank You that wisdom is available to even us who are simple. You're called out to us. Father, through Christ, You have granted us salvation. You have given us Your truth. You have given us Your Spirit to understand. Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray that we would be focused upon pleasing You. We would be focused upon knowing You, that we will run from evil. Father, we ask that You would keep us from evil. You would protect us. And give us wisdom, Father, we may know how to truly live, and may we indeed live as Your people, as You designed us to live. May we honor You from it, Father, not for our own good necessarily, but for Your glory throughout all of our days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.